And then the view of the city itself is spectacular. So they've done a really good job of just adding different options for people why they would want to come to Stanley Park.
Sheldon, welcome here in our first English version of Mám rád Bratislava, I like Bratislava podcast.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're a very interesting person to have you here. You came from Canada, Vancouver, married a beautiful Slovak woman, and moved your professional life here to Bratislava. You live here for how long?
Since 2013, so about 6 years.
About 6 years.
Yes.
But before that, you lived in Slovakia somewhere else?
Yeah, we were living in Nitra for about 5 years, and then we'd lived in England before that 4.5 years.
Yeah. So just for the audience to know, your professional background, you're a facilitator.
Yes.
Right. Professional facilitator, yes. For non-profit NGOs. You move all around the world. Mainly Europe right now?
Yes, mainly Europe. Do some work in Canada still, but yeah, so I'm a group facilitator working with organizations, helping them improve their process and their social impact, primarily with, like you said, nonprofits, NGOs. People want to make a positive impact in society.
But you already moved also to companies and...
I'm starting to do some stuff here in the city with businesses wanting to get into that, mainly to help me be able to provide the services to NGOs, nonprofits who maybe can't afford some of the world-class services we're trying to offer. So got to get the money from somewhere.
I see.
All right. So what I want to talk about today is mainly... your story about moving here, what it was like. I'm very interested, a bit of a comparison, not Canada and Slovakia, it's too much of a cliche, but I want to hear more about raising children here. Yeah. You growing up back in Vancouver. Right now, Vancouver is known as one of the top livable cities all around the world. So... towns or cities like Bratislava, which aspire to, you know, to grow in prominence and get out from the regional stamp and just become more global and more livable for the citizens who already live in. So I want to hear really more about how is it growing up, you know, when you see your children. I also want to know more about your experience, but not as a foreigner, but more as a more. I understand you already feel more as a local, and since there's a growing community of people coming from abroad, from all around the world, there's a real growing IT community here. The companies, so there are definitely people coming from India in the next years. So yeah, let's talk about the Vancouver experience first.
Sure. I mean, growing up, so I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. Growing up, Vancouver was actually almost like a regional city in Canada. We lived in the shadow of Toronto, Montreal, the bigger cities. And then, of course, being north of America, we were under kind of their media influence and things like that. So growing up, I always had that identity that Vancouver was this small city that didn't really matter. And then... But it was beautiful. It was a beautiful place. It felt small, even though it was a bigger city. And then, in the 80s, it seemed like Vancouver just kind of appeared on the map, so to speak, and it became this world-class destination that people wanted to come to. But growing up as a kid, you don't really think about that. It's just the place you live in, and, you know, you're happy to be there. But, yeah, in the 90s, we started to get an identity, a reputation as being a place people wanted to come to. And you could sense the change in the city and even people's pride in the city. And so being from Vancouver actually became something you were proud of and not something that was like, you know, third class or second class in Canada. It was the city. So, really enjoyed that experience as a kid coming into our own kind of identity.
So there were some turning points, definitely, in the history of Vancouver. As I mentioned, right now it's a global city, basically. It's close to Seattle. I don't know if it's a correct comparison, but you know, there definitely must be some kind of competition between Seattle and Vancouver. You know, Seattle having the whole Amazon. You know, there's like 10 or whatever, how many skyscrapers just rented or owned by Amazon only. And now, Vancouver also has quite of a scene, like EA Games.
Yes, right? That's right. It started there.
Yeah, it started there. I know this guy who also came to Bratislava to live here for some time. He's of Iranian origin, mm-hmm. I think, and he moved to Vancouver and he loved it there because it's because of the nature around. I think you have Stanley Park.
Yep, Stanley Park. It's second biggest city park in North America after Central Park. So it's an icon of the city. And we spent a lot of time there as a family, actually. On weekends, we'd go down there and just hang out. That's one of the beauties of Vancouver, is it's not just an urban center, but you feel like you're surrounded by nature. You've got the mountains on one side, you got the ocean on the other side. So we definitely have some real physical landmarks that really mark the city well. And actually, to follow on what you said, the multiculturalism part was always huge. Growing up as a kid, you were just always surrounded by different ethnicities, different colors. So it was just part of who we were as a city. And that exploded, like I said, in the 80s. We got a lot more Asian influence.
The 80s was there was an expo?
Yeah, so we had the World's Fair. So World Exposition 1986. And for me, that was a defining moment. So the world came to Vancouver, and we would go on the weekends to the different exhibits. And I think for me, that was the moment that put Vancouver on the map, really. And so just the exposure from other countries, people started to wake up and realize, wow, what an amazing city this is, not just because of the geographic location, but because of what the city had to offer.
Mm. So, there are two ways where to go from here. I want to get back to the Stanley Park and just have your thoughts on you know, the Carpathy Range, Malakarpathy, right here. Bratislava is blessed by having, you know, the mountains. I think Malakarpathy is very underestimated range, because, you know, in Slovakia we have High Tatras, Low Tatras, and all the higher mountains, and then there is this a bunch of trees, you know. But still, the huge potential, you know, the difference with other cities, like what we have, a lot of the area right besides Bratislava is actually it's part of Bratislava as a park. The new as of what I heard recently, the new management of the city, they are trying to actually protect it more, make it more for people, and so when I read about Stanley Park in Vancouver, I hope very much to, you know, to see these mountains around Bratislava, to, you know, just to get more of a prominence, you know. So that's one thing. How do you see it? Do you visit? Did you go there?
Yeah, we've been a couple times. You know, for when I grew up in Vancouver, Stanley Park was kind of the jewel in the crown, and the city made a lot they made a lot of effort to, you know, bring tourists that way and to make it a place where you'd want to go to. For me, the Malakarpathy, it's been more word of mouth. People have said, oh, have you tried this trail or that trail, or have you gone here or there? And we've done picnics sometimes or tours through them. But, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily known that they were the place to go unless, you know, friends had told us about it. So that's kind of a bit of a difference. But it's nice. I mean, to have something that close to your city, but to make it part of the city is really important. You know, to make it like, this is part of Bratislava, you got to go see it. And I know Slovaks love to go out and hike and do tours and things like that. But it just seemed like a bit of a secret to us before we, you know, when we finally moved here, that, oh yeah, there's this mountain range.
Yeah, you can see it, but it's like not so many not books, but you know, tourist guides. Even though you were not here as tourists, but like, okay, why to go there? There are some castles over there, but where are they? You know, and so
we've been to Cheverny Kamen once, and it was beautiful. You know, loved going there again, but really, unless you're, at least in my feeling, unless you're going up there to hike or to have a picnic, you know, what other reason is there to go there?
So what's up there in Stanley Park? Like, what are the attractions?
The number one reason people go there is there's an aquarium. And it's quite a good one. And then there's a lot of walking trails through the parks. There's some indigenous art and totem poles that attract people, and some places where they have workshops set up. There's a whole seawall, so a walking, biking path that's about 7 kilometers all around the park. There's different beaches you can go to. There's restaurants. You know, there's hiking trails. So there's a whole series of different things. There's some special gardens set up. So, and at Christmas time, they do a whole kind of Christmas train. They have like a little train that goes through it. They decorate it. So there's a number of different options that would want to bring you to the park. And then the view of the city itself is spectacular. So they've done a really good job of just adding different options for people why they would want to come to to Stanley Park.
Actually, last year, I did this thing. You know, during the New Year celebration, there's always the fireworks.
Right.
Yeah, in Bratislava. Actually, there are no fireworks in Vienna. Have you known that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because a few years ago, I went to Vienna for the celebration of New Year, and all the people, you know, from abroad and people who live there just stood in front of the Stadthalle, and there was a countdown, and everybody, I felt like everybody's waiting for the fireworks, just looking up the sky, and nothing happened. And then a friend of mine told me that actually a few years ago they prohibited the fireworks because it was so wild. Not only the city fireworks, but what people brought to the streets, it was so wild that for the next several days they couldn't get the smoke out of the street.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so for that's that. Funny. But last year, what I did was I went up to one mountain with a friend of mine, and we actually watched the fireworks from up there. It was very interesting. Just nobody there. It was the what was the name? Mali Javornik. There's this observatory, you know. So we went up there, not to the observatory, but just close to that. And it was very nice to watch the fireworks and all around the villages, right. the villages around Bratislava. It was very nice. So, for example, this is something I would very much appreciate to be some place somebody recommends you, not only just a word of mouth, but in some tour guide or whatever, right. Just yeah, not you have an option not to go to downtown, but also to up to the hill and just watch the scenery. It was amazing. It was really amazing.
I mean, the one difference is, you know, Stanley Park's right in the middle of the city in Vancouver, so you don't really have to travel very far. But we've also have a mountain range surrounding Vancouver, but they make sure that people get up there, you know. There's always buses going up there. There's different tours that go up there. And we have ski mountains up there as well, too, so that attracts people. But I think Vancouver's really, really embraced its identity as a city with natural wonders all around it. And that's become part of the identity of the city. And so so when we moved here, you know, Bratislava has the Mali Karpaty, you know, so they are small, though, compared to what I was used to. But it's always nice for me whenever I'm driving, you know, to see the mountains there, because the rest of Bratislava is pretty flat and it's pretty big open sky. So I'm comforted by mountains. So it's nice to have them there.
So I know that from the pictures that the mountain range,
yes,
by Vancouver, like the Stanley Park is a small mountain range. It's hills.
No, it's fairly flat. There's some mountains. Yeah, I mean, it's right in what's called Coal Harbor, which is the water entryway into Vancouver. Right. And then behind that is the coastal mountain range, and that's where you have three main mountains that surround Vancouver.
So from the pictures I've seen, when you compare Vancouver with the mountains, is it more like Banska Bystrica, like several hundred thousand people, but like Banska Bystrica, or more like Poprad with High Tatras?
The mountain range would be more like the High Tatras mountains. High Tatras. Yeah. I mean, the city itself is obviously quite a bit larger than, you know, the Poprad area, but it'd be more like those mountains. That's more what I'm kind of used to.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, because what... Just a small sideline, but when I think of Poprad and the whole area, the Spiš region, yeah, there's so huge potential for tourism and just, you know, connecting to more to Poland, to Hungary, and just, you know, having those people around there. And just, I know that actually the city of Poprad is shrinking, which is, well, yeah, really. And there's such a huge potential for... you know, actually for growth as of what I, how I see it really. So, okay, let's get back to Vancouver. It's, we mentioned the expo and there were Olympic Games.
Yes.
And, when we talked previously about this, you mentioned like it's sometimes in the history of a town or a city, it's good to have some, you know, some significant event that pinpoints the city to the global map. Yeah. As you mentioned, Vancouver was more like a regional city also. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. Like for Canadians, it was like, oh.
Yeah, it felt that way. I mean, when you live on the edge of the country too, so we are on the very west coast, and so... Growing up, I always felt separated from the rest of Canada because you had all these mountain ranges and the Rocky Mountains. Our closest major city was Seattle in America. So you kind of felt that disconnection. But once, you know, once this global exposure happened, it seemed like Vancouver grew up really, really quick. And maybe it had always been there and there had been good things in the city, but now the spotlight was on. And it really helped people wake up to what Vancouver could be as a city.
All right. So also, I guess the city grew with the number of people.
Absolutely.
Right? Like the more influx of people from around. Because when a city becomes more like a global place, definitely people from all around the world start to move there. So in Bratislava, sometimes there's still this it's I don't want to go into politics, so we won't go there. This podcast is not about this, but Bratislava has huge potential for, you know, just a century ago basically it was a very multicultural city, you know, having all those you know, huge German Jewish and Hungarian and Slovak population. There were a lot of Czechs too, so unfortunately, or some people may see it as fortunate, but unfortunately, the world events back then made it so that the population is more like all Slovaks only right now, with some expats working here. Yep. So when you were growing up and this influx of people happened, how did you feel? Like, was it more like just enhancing the... the spirit of the city, or was it like, oh, what's that?
Yeah. I mean, so growing up, it was just common to see, like I said, to see people of other cultures, and other colors. My dad in his business was constantly working with Asian farmers as well. But there was a definite boom, like I said, in the 80s and 90s. And I think it definitely took some people by surprise that, oh, this is now what our city is. But because we are a coastal city, there's always been that coming and going of different cultures, different people groups. So I guess it was normal. The bigger surprise for me was when I moved to Slovakia. And like I said, we lived in Nitra at first, and it was very white, you know, very non-colorful, as I call it. And that actually... I had to get used to that, which was funny for me, and I recognized that. We then lived in Canada for about 7 months. We moved back there in 2017 as a family. We wanted that experience. And it was shocking for my kids, though, to go into school classrooms where 50% of the kids were Asian or a different culture, and they were actually in the minority, so to speak. And we were really glad we did that experience for them, because in their schools they're in now, it's still fairly monocultural. So I've always grown up with it, and, you know, it doesn't mean I have a perfect grasp of multiculturalism or always been so embracing of it, but it was just more normal, if that makes sense, to be exposed to just different cultures, different people, different religions, different, you know, foods, different everything. So
when you see yourself growing up in Vancouver, and now you see your kids, yeah, here, what's your grasp on that? Like, right. How do you see it? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, number one would be that multicultural exposure. Although, you know, many of the friends we have here and many of the things we've been involved in have allowed them to be connected to other cultures, which is good. One of the things we really like about Bratislava, and I was actually talking to my kids about this versus living in Vancouver, because Vancouver is such a large city geographically, you tend to kind of stay in your neighborhood, so to speak. You tend to find an area of the city where you do life and you stay there. Whereas Bratislava for me is just that perfect size where we can be in all different parts of the city. In fact, life happens in all different parts of the city, and even their schooling, they take them to different events. And so they actually get an urban experience, which is great, because, you know, you're not thinking just so neighborhood or regional. So that's been a big difference. And just being involved in different events, it's not so much of a struggle to, you know, go to the other end of the city for a concert or for some activity. And once again, anytime you can see something new and something different, it helps your worldview to expand. You know, technology, I think that's pretty similar. We notice in Canada, kids were on their screens as much as they are here. There's that embracing of technology, although we feel a lot safer in Bratislava than we do in Vancouver. So our kids use public transportation by themselves. They walk around the city from different events to different events by themselves sometimes. We wouldn't be as eager to do that maybe in a city like Vancouver. So just their sense of independence is developing differently. And I find too, parents here seem to give their kids more freedom. They're not as overprotective as we found when we lived in Canada. Like, people just kids couldn't do anything without their parents making sure it was all safe and, you know, without any danger attached to it. Whereas here, there just seems to be a little bit more independence. Yeah, so those are some of the things we've noticed about raising kids here. It's different and the same, you know, at the same time.
This is actually the security factor. It's very interesting you mentioned it, because for example, in Japan, it's quite well-known cultural phenomenon that kids of a very young age can travel public transport. It's supported. It's actually very much encouraged by the parents. Just when kids start to attend elementary school, just they take the not only buses, but the metro and all the, you know, the I'd say difficult public transport where there's lots and lots of people. And thinking of Slovakia, this is something, it's part of the culture, I'd say, but it's not being talked about, that it's actually so safe that like the amount of crime is actually pretty low compared to other most of the world. Yeah. And the best way you can see it is by letting your kids just going to school by themselves, by public transport. I remember myself growing up, just since really elementary school, going to another city. It's very interesting. So What would be the other aspects of when, for example, you were growing up in you mentioned like living in just a neighborhood. Yeah. I imagine actually Vancouver more like you know, just really great public transport, really great, like you move around everything, and now you're mentioning just like neighborhoods mentality. Or
yeah, I mean, in Vancouver itself, it is actually made up of a number of different cities and municipalities. So you have Vancouver proper, which is kind of in the middle, and then it's surrounded by other communities. And so we call it the Greater Vancouver Area. So when people say they're from Vancouver, I usually ask where in Vancouver, because they may not actually be from the city. And so just the ability for those communities to coordinate things like transit and transportation and roads and highways hasn't always been easy. And even the geography of Vancouver, it's quite hilly. It's not a flat surface. So as they've tried to build rapid transit and bus lines and train lines, it's been a bit challenging. It's only been within the last, I would say, 10 years that they've really done more of an integrated transit system. I mean, most people would still rely on vehicles unless you live more in the city center, where there's been a big move for bikes and for walking lanes and bus lanes only, trying to keep, you know, the green eco feel of the city. But if you live outside of the city center, then you're going to be more suburban, more in your neighborhood. So growing up, there was kind of a maybe 10-kilometer radius or a 5-kilometer radius that we lived within, and we'd still say, though, we're from Vancouver. So so I knew the neighborhood really well, and I knew where all the services and stuff were, but if someone said they were from another part of Vancouver, I might not know anything about that, just because you wouldn't necessarily venture there unless you needed to. So whereas I don't find that as much here in Bratislava. We tend to go wherever we need to go, and we're familiar with the different parts of the city.
I see. So when you compare, I still want to some sounds around here.
Yes.
So I still want to stay in the topic of, you know, just to dig more into the, you know, raising children. So how do you compare the overall experience, you know, like going to school, setting up the kid, yeah, a kid in a school, and here, over there, what are the services? Do you see this, you know, like the pros and cons? What can be learned? What is actually better? Mm-hmm. Because I believe there's always, even in place of a lot of criticism, there's many times unique positive things that are unique and sometimes better than elsewhere. So how do you see this?
Yeah, I mean, our experience here has been fairly positive, to be honest. One of the things we've noticed about their schooling is there's a lot more kind of project-based learning. There's a lot more exposure to different events. So the school they're in, they're going on different field trips. They're getting them out of the school. So it's not just stuck in the classroom, which when we lived in Canada for that short period of time, it seemed like there was just a lot of classroom learning. So it might be the school they're in, I'm not sure. And there also seems like there's more services set up here for parents to enable them to have jobs. So, you know, the after-school programs, the after-school clubs are different, whereas in Canada, you tend to have to do private-based stuff. So it seems like the city is still set up for two working parents and caters to that. So that's been positive for us as a family. Teachers have been fairly approachable in the school we're in. They've been open to parent involvement as well. And so that's, you know, we like that a lot. And then the independence, you know, for them having to walk around the city and get places has been good. So, you know, overall, we've been very happy. And we don't have our kids in an international school either. We have them in public Slovak school. And that's been good. And yeah, they're fairly happy with it. And, you know, having food in the school, that's not a common Canadian thing. Usually you have to pack your own lunch and take stuff. Whereas, you know, paying for school food, whether my kids like it or not, is helpful for us as parents as well. So you know, our experience has been fairly positive, and we've been seeing progression in the school system here. So more technologies being introduced, learning methods, teaching styles are being introduced. There's been a good emphasis on, you know, the maths and sciences, but also the humanities, which I think you need a broad educational exposure. And then just once again, you know, the group learning, it's not just all individual project-based stuff where it's just you learning, but learning together in a community has been good. So yeah, that's been really positive for us.
You mentioned the lunches that are pretty common here, and that in Canada or Vancouver, you have to pack your own lunch to school. It's actually also the culture, the general culture of lunches here in Bratislava, right. the menus
yes.
Here. Some people, I heard a friend of mine, a restaurant owner, he was like, oh man, you know, it's so... weird that we have to sell so like foods for so low amount of money. Like we don't make money basically on that. But the culture of this kind of you know, having this kind of food going from work to some close restaurant and just having this, it's pretty unique here.
Yeah,
it's like I feel like it's it haven't been recognized actually as a type of culture. It's definitely something inherited from the socialist regime. But right now, decades after that, it became kind of unique culture. Like if you go to, as a tourist, you go to India, for example, and you're amazed by, you know, those street foods and everything. It is not that kind, but it's also a unique culture for what we have in here. I think it should be recognized, definitely. All right, speaking about food.
Yeah.
So, what's your take on this? Because I don't want to talk about halushki.
Yeah, no. I don't even like it, so.
Yeah, me neither. So, but what's your real take? When you moved from Vancouver, it's I think it's kind of an exception because, you know, all those people from around the world, lots of cuisines and so I guess it's not only about fast food. Like,
yeah, no, not at all.
But
yeah.
What about like the comparison here and there?
Yeah, I mean, so real quick, growing up, my dad loved Asian food, so we were exposed to that a lot as kids. So, you know, just going out for Chinese food was just common. In fact, one of our traditions was New Year's Eve, we always ordered in Chinese food. So when I first moved to Slovakia, and you know, I lived in Nitra, so your choices were limited to Slovak food or Slovak fast food, which was kind of a bit frustrating for me, because in Vancouver there had been so many different ethnicities, so many different styles of food, and people experimenting with different, you know, cuisines and fusion of food. And so it's been really cool for me in the last, you know, 6 years living in Bratislava, just to see that more acceptance of different ethnic foods, different tastes, different, you know, different styles of cooking, even, you know, like Fresh Market to me is kind of this, you know, example of the world in Bratislava. You know, you can walk around Fresh Market and you can, you know, basically get something from anywhere in the world, so to speak. And just to see that embracing of food here. And capital cities are usually more like that because people come from over the world, you know, for business or for learning or for whatever, and they want to taste their food, and then it exposes it to other people and people get a taste for it. So it's been really good to see that things have changed in the last 6-7 years. So, you know, better Asian food, you know, even Mexican food is starting to come here, which I'm really pleased about, Indian food, you know, so, it's not just halushki and resin anymore. You know, it really is. You can go into Bratislava and not just the downtown center, but in some of the smaller neighborhoods and find, you know, Vietnamese food right now is everywhere. It seems like it's just an explosion, which is great because I love it. And to me, that's a sign of a growing city that's embracing more of an international flavor, is they're saying, yeah, we want these foods. We want to make them part of the city, not just an attraction that we take our our friends to when they're from out of town. Oh, let's go try this new ethnic food. But actually, it is part of what the city says they're about.
Yeah, that's really cool. Even like several days ago, I read this article on Bratislava 24. There's a new media site, and the article was about this food map here in Bratislava. Somebody drew made a project, and for people in the city, and tourists, is something interesting because you can see like there are actually even restaurants from Africa, you know. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Mexico, India. This is something I'm actually starting to love it. Experimenting all the flavors. Yeah, it's very interesting. And you want to say something?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say so for instance, one of my favorite places right now is Grizzly Tacos, which is on Marianska Street. And the neat thing is very authentic, kind of Mexican, small menu. They don't do a lot of different things, but it's all run by Slovaks. So it's actually, I haven't seen anyone that I would recognize from Mexico running that. So, you know, it's Slovaks who've gone, have learned this cuisine, have embraced it as their identity, and are now selling it. And I know some people say, you know, ethnic food should only be made by that ethnicity. I don't agree necessarily with that. I think it actually shows people are learning and growing and saying, hey, this is great. We want to do this on our own. So things like that show me that the mindset of the city is definitely changing and becoming more inclusive and more embracing of outside influences.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I heard there's especially in the States, in the United States, there's the I don't remember the exact word they use for it, but something like you shouldn't copy
right culture. Cultural appropriation.
Yeah, cultural appropriation. Yeah, right. That's right. That just what belongs to the culture should stay in the culture. Yeah. It shouldn't mix. Yeah. And yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's the story of Europe, though, is it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
The influences from all over, and you see it in Bratislava. There's been a number of cultural influences, and there just seems to be more of a willingness to borrow and to make it your own and to put your spin on it. And I think that actually adds a real flavor and a real nice variety to the city instead of just being homogeneous. You know, everything has to be the same. It's actually, you know, this can be from here, this can be from that, and let's make this our identity.
That's right. That's right. What about sports and the whole life around it? I mean, there's one part about you that I know you are a huge ice hockey fan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I haven't quite gotten into Slovan yet. I grew up NHL, so, you know, Vancouver Canucks, even though they're not a great team, you know, you grow up as a Canadian kid with a team. And even to this day, even this morning, I woke up, went online, saw how my team was doing. Because of the time change, I actually was able to listen to the last 15 minutes of the hockey game online. So that was great. So yeah, that's the great thing about internet technology. I can still have that Canadian connection. But I loved it when the World Hockey Championships were here in Bratislava. It was a great mood and atmosphere in the city, watching the games. So I've tried to get into, you know, the Slovak ice hockey scene, but when you're a fan of the NHL, it just seems a little lesser. It was nice when they were in the KHL because you got some good quality teams, but I haven't yet gone to a Slovan game now that they're back in the Slovak league.
Yeah. So have you watched some KHL?
Yeah, I went to a couple games, and the atmosphere in the arena was great. I mean, that's a great arena. It's a great size, you know, about 10,000 people. It's designed nicely. It was loud. It was fun. And yeah, I do like ice hockey just in general. So it's great to go and watch. But like I said, I haven't gone yet to the Slovak league. So maybe I will this year. Yeah. Ticket prices are good. So
yeah. I'm looking forward to to see also football, you know, just growing in Bratislava. Definitely new venues.
Yes, that's right.
Make it more pleasant to go there and see. Yeah. I mean, Slovan back then, Slovan Bratislava ice hockey team back then when there was the old stadium, it was
Yeah. And that's a nice little area they're making in the city too. Seems to be like a sports region. So you got the tennis center, the ice hockey, the new stadium. So I like that about Bratislava, that it's kind of created this sports neighborhood, and so you know where to go, and we've gone to some tennis events as well and things like that. So yeah, it's good.
So as now as a Bratislavian.
Yes.
And as I know you and as how you talk about the city, you definitely feel like local.
Yeah.
Like not somebody from abroad, but definitely local. So what's your take on the city? I mean, like, what's your, do you dream about this? Like, I mean, I don't want to go like too much romantic about it, but I mean, yeah. How deep are you in the issues, like public transport and everything? Like,
absolutely. I love the city. I think, like I said, it's the perfect size. So 500,000 people, but because it's the capital, all the services and amenities are here. So we love living in Bratislava. We feel that was the best move for us as a family. Public transportation, I took it this morning. I think the system works fairly well. And even the fact that there's no metro doesn't seem to bother me. You know, the streetcars and the trams run really well. The connections are good. I can get anywhere I need to in the city and, you know, half an hour, so to, you know, more or less. Where we live in the city, it's kind of on the outskirts. So it'd be nice if, you know, the trams went out that far and if they maybe had more park and ride kind of situations where you park your car and there's transit waiting for you. We would use that just because our commute into school can be pretty bad sometimes with the traffic and all the construction with the new highways and things. So I still think there's more they could do with public transit, but the size of the city is what it is. So I'm not sure where else you could build upon, but maybe extending it further out even would be great. Making use of some of the rail lines might be helpful as well, but get people out of their cars, you know, get people embracing it more and more.
Yeah. So basically what's the topic of the day, right? So yeah. Sheldon, thank you for coming here again. I think we can close it here. So yeah, that is it.
Thank you.